Why are we so often noticing cars drifting out of their lanes on the interstate or even other highways and streets? What about the person ahead of you just sitting there when the light turns green and not reacting? Worst of all, why are there so many single car accidents, cars spinning out of control on wet or icy roads, or even when conditions are dry? On this week's Eastern Standard, we'll talk about distracted driving. We're interested in your questions or comments and especially your personal stories. Have you experienced distracted driving of others or even yourself? Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Please don't do that while driving. Or give us a call, 800-621-8890. It's time for Eastern Standard right after the news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. This week, our topic, distracted driving. We know our listeners are smart people. We don't need PSAs to tell us to be careful with fireworks during the 4th of July. We don't need to be reminded what to do when there are severe weather alerts for the most part. But does that mean we're unaffected by today's distractions on the roadway, or are some of the smartest people possibly in great danger from distractions? We have with us guests on the line who are going to help us in this conversation, but we certainly want to hear from you during the course of today's program. We encourage and invite you to send your question or comment, maybe even a personal story of a distracted driving, by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. And do not, please do not do that while you're driving. If you're on the roadway and want to send us a message, do so by pulling over to the side of the road or a rest area or some other location. Or give us a call, 800-621-8890. Your questions, your comments, your personal stories about distracted driving, welcome and invited during this week's Eastern Standard. On the phone with us this morning, first up, we have Natasha Lacey, Public Information Officer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Natasha, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate the invitation.
We're looking forward to hearing what you are all about and your observations on this issue of distracted driving and what the state is doing about it. Also on the line, we have with us the Senior Director of Communication Programs from the Governor's Highway Safety Council, Kara Masick. Kara, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Kara, let me start by having you tell us what you do. What is the Governor's Highway Safety Council? That's not our governor, right? This is a nationwide organization?
It is. So we are a national association representing state-level offices of highway safety across the country. So as an example, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet actually has an Office of Highway Safety operating within the cabinet that is one of our members. So we have members across the country, and they are tasked with administering programs addressing driver behavior.
And I understand you all have a conference coming up. Is it coming to Kentucky?
We do. We actually will be there in Louisville September 16th through the 20th, right in downtown Louisville to bring everybody together.
And the subject matter of that conference?
The subject matter is highway safety in a new era. So we're talking about the new behavioral challenges, the new political landscape, the new media climate, and how to make your message resonate. But distracted driving is certainly among these, still relatively new issues.
It does sound like that would be one of the major challenges that you all would be facing in this area.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Well, let me turn to Natasha Lacey. Tell me what you do when you talk about public information for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. I'm sure you send out. I was mentioning, we don't need public service announcements to tell us to do certain things. But I suspect that there are some campaigns underway from the State Transportation Cabinet trying to inform people to avoid distracted driving. Well, for instance, Natasha, are you the person who, programs those signboards on the interstate?
No, I'm not. Those are programmed actually through other means. I am responsible for District 7, that's 12 counties in central Kentucky, so that's my responsibility. And there are 12 highway districts in Kentucky, so there are other public information officers. That means that every county is covered. And, yes, we do have of course, campaigns for driver distraction. Also, work zone safety, too, as well, is one of our big campaigns.
Can between the two of you, and feel free to just jump on in, Natasha Lacey or Kara Masick, define for me distracted driving. Is this a new phenomenon, and did we just have to come up with this concept in recent years because of all these mobile devices that we now have?
Distracted driving is defined, and that's according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It's any non-driving activity a person engages in that has the potential to distract from the primary task of driving and increase the risk of crashing.
And so let's talk about a list of them. I kind of pulled together a little bit of a list, and maybe you can fill in some gaps. Of course, the phones and texting, just about anything we can do on phones. Obviously, you know, the phones have so many things going on with them besides the ability to talk. We can text messages. We can access various apps. We can watch movies and play games and just, you know, search for information, use the phone as a GPS device. And then, of course, some people do have separate GPS devices. We have in-car sound systems. Radios have been part of automobiles, I guess, since the very beginning, but they've certainly evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, distracted driving is nothing new in and of itself. You know, in fact, when radios were first introduced, people were concerned that they would have, you know, detrimental effects on drivers. But I think what's changed here is we've had a complete sort of cultural shift to these new communications devices that lure us into the, you know, addictive sort of nature of being in constant contact with everyone all the time. And, you know, that's what's changed. It's this, you know, this little primal urge. It's like somebody tapping you on the shoulder when you get a text, when you get a message that, you know, you want to respond. You want to see what it is. And so, you know, it has an effect on the brain. Really, it's the brain circuitry that's responding to this urge that is why it's such a challenging issue to fight. And it is such a distracting, or, you know, it's, that is sort of the what we, when we talk about distracted driving these days, that's what really what we're talking about is you know, our inability to set the phone down and focus on driving.
So in Kentucky, what is the current law regarding telephone use or texting while driving?
Well, we do have House Bill 415 that was signed into law on April 15, 2010, and that bans texting for drivers of all ages while the vehicle is in motion.
And texting, that means, of course, any messages through whatever apps, whether it's Facebook Messenger or, you know, some of the other apps that allow you to text in addition to the SMS or iPhone, whatever, texting systems?
Exactly. Any type of texting for drivers of all ages while a vehicle is in motion.
Now, does that mean using one's fingers to physically type a text? Or what about voice recognition, you know, hitting the button for the little microphone that you see and talking into it?
Voice recognition can be used, and you would need to, of course, position your phone within easy reach and be careful with voice recognition because that also is an activity that can take your mind off of what you're doing when you drive. In fact, driving while using a cell phone reduces the amount of brain activity associated with driving by 37%. So any type of activity you do reduces your brain activity to a degree because it's taking your mind off of driving.
Hmm. But in Kentucky, the law restricts texting or you know, forbids texting, but does not restrict the use of cell phones?
No. At this time, you can use a cell phone, but you, of course, need to use that carefully. If your cell phone rings while driving, you need to safely pull off the roadway and ask a passenger to handle the call or allow voicemail to answer it and return calls when it's safe to do so and convenient.
We're speaking.
And I will say that Kentucky is actually not alone. The vast majority of the country has similar laws. 47 states now ban texting while driving, but most of them do not ban handheld use. Only 14 states have outright prohibited, you know, holding the phone in your hand altogether. So that's a bit of a bigger
bigger ask politically.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Kara, can you spell out for us? I mean, some of the states, I mean, neighboring states. I feel like Ohio has fairly strict regulations regarding
cell phones. I believe Ohio is also just a texting ban. It's typically the coasts. I mean, they tend to sort of be the, you know, more progressive on some of their safety legislation. So it's typically the East Coast and West Coast with a few outliers in the middle of the country. But by and large, like I said, most states just have texting bans. Well, and even so, a few of those are just secondary enforcement.
Well, I was just going to say, from your point of view, though, as an expert mm-hmm. and dealing with these safety matters and kind of an overall a big picture, Kara Masick, what do you think needs to be done in terms of legislation? I mean, is it appropriate that it's merely a state-by-state situation? Should there be potentially federal laws or federal regulations, at least covering the interstate highways that restrict certain activity?
The way that the highway safety laws work in the United States is, you know, it's constitutional that the state, it's up to the states to regulate driver behavior aspects. And so I don't see that changing anytime soon. And so, you know, therefore, we do need, you know, leadership at the national level to you know, draft policies and help with campaigns. But it really is, you know, for the foreseeable future, going to be up to the states to set these policies. And, you know, our recommendation is we do advocate for state handheld cell phone bans, primarily because texting alone is very difficult to enforce. The law enforcement community is challenged by the ability to distinguish texting from another, you know, quote unquote legal activity.
Uh-oh. We just lost both of our phone lines. Both of our guests don't quite know what occurred there, but just all of a sudden, our phone system crashed. And, of course, both of our guests are on the telephone, inconvenient situation. Natasha Lacey, Public Information Officer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and Kara Masick, Senior Director of Communications Programs from the Governor's Highway Safety Council. Looks like our producer, Devonna Gaines, is on that and going to get our guests back on the line as we remind you, our listeners, that our program is an interactive program. So we do want to encourage you to be part of the show, even more so than ever right now. We're interested in your questions, your comments, your personal stories, and I really would like to hear some of those personal stories, your experiences of what has happened as a result of distracted driving. Have you observed distracted driving? I can't imagine anybody on the roadways who has not observed it during today's environment on the roadways. Tell us your stories of what you've observed. Have you personally been distracted and been in an iffy situation as a result of that distraction? We'd be interested in hearing that. And, of course, you're relatively anonymous when you call in to participate in a show like this. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST or pick up the phone and call. I think the phone lines are actually working, but something happened to disconnect our two guests. 800-621-8890, the number, as Eastern Standard continues distracted driving, our topic on this week's show. That's 800-621-8890 at WEKUEST. The Twitter address, follow us, and then send us a message or send an email at eastern standard at gmail.com. Eastern Standard continues. Nothing's wrong. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Distracted driving is our topic on this week's program. The show live on a Thursday morning, so we invite and encourage your participation in the show at 800-621-8890. Send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Two guests part of our program this morning. Now, let me just make sure that I got the phone system working correctly here. Let's see. Let's check in with everybody. Kara Masick of the Governor's Highway Safety Council, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
here.
Okay, and Natasha Lacey, Public Information Officer for Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, not sure what happened. Sorry, ladies. all of a sudden, there was a big click, and you both disappeared. So I apologize for that, and we encourage our listeners I've been inviting the listeners to participate in the show. But and I'm trying to remember where we left off, talking about what's happening nationally in terms of regulations and the recommendations for increased highway safety, maybe, Kara Masick?
I think I was explaining the fact that the way that the United States traffic safety is handled is to delegate to the states the behavioral safety aspects, and so I don't anticipate that changing anytime soon. But you know, that being said, at the federal level and through GHSA, we do have recommendations and policies. And as I explained, we do advocate for handheld bans, primarily because they are much easier for law enforcement to actually enforce. It's difficult for officers to distinguish between texting and other legal behavior behind the wheel. So we do recommend that, but again, ultimately the responsibility lies with the driver, and so we all have the power in our own hands to make that decision whenever we get behind the wheel.
What do we know about the effects of distracted driving in terms of statistics? Are there statewide statistics in Kentucky, Natasha, or, again, national figures that you would have access to, Kara?
Well, nationally, nearly 80% of crashes and 65% of near crashes involve some form of distraction within 3 seconds before the event, and that's from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So that's a high number, 80%.
Yeah, and in the latest data we have in terms of fatalities is 2015, which indicates that about 10% of all fatalities involve distracted driving. And, we do anticipate that may be underreported, underrepresented, because there are a lot of data collection challenges when it comes to distracted driving. There's no way to measure the distraction level in the same way that we can with, for example, alcohol.
So I had looked at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website earlier this week, and the 2015 number they reported was nearly 3,500 drivers died as a result of distracted driving?
That's correct.
In Kentucky, there were more than 59,400 crashes in 2016, and that resulted in more than 15,300 injuries and 192 fatalities due to distracted driving for the state of Kentucky in 2016.
So nearly 200 people are dead today because of distracted driving who were alive maybe a year ago.
In Kentucky in 2016. And I think we need to remember there are other ways to be distracted, not just texting or talking on the cell phone. Children actually are 4 times more distracting than adults as passengers, and infants are 8 times more distracting. And you also have to keep in mind your pets. Pets need to be, of course, secured. They don't need to be, allowed to roam around in the car. And the same thing with children. They need to be in a safety seat.
And I was thinking of a list of distractions, I was thinking both of children and of pets, eating and drinking, smoking, just passengers in general, interacting with somebody else in the car while you're driving, roadside distractions like advertising signs or things that might be going on. Of course, we're all familiar with rubbernecking when there's an accident. That's certainly a distraction when people slow down to observe something going on the side of the roadway when really, it's under control, they could move on. I wonder if, people have even
considered that. There's all sorts of
different,
levels and types of distractions. We talk about sort of 3 different things. There's things that take your eyes off the road, things that take your hands off the wheel, and then things that take your mind off the driving task. So, there's manual, there's visual, and there's cognitive distractions, and they all have, dangers to them. But I think, we can all agree that anything that, when your eyes are not on the road, that is bad. When you're physically, there's no way you can be a safe driver when you're not even looking at what's around you. I think, that's paramount. And then the other, you know, hands on the wheel is also obviously critical. And then mind on the task at hand, you know, keeping your mind engaged. I mean, we've all had the occasion of just sort of daydreaming while we're driving and then realizing, wait, what, you know, I don't even remember the last, you know, 5 minutes of my drive. So it's really, you know, really critical that we keep engaged at all three levels. And, you know, phones have a tendency to take our minds off the, you know, task at hand. We can take our hands off the wheel, and we can also take our eyes off the road, certainly. So, you know, it's sort of like the trifecta of you know, negative implications when it comes to distraction.
I mean, when we talk about phones and technology in the vehicle, do we not have what could appear to be a very dangerous trend occurring? If you've looked at new cars lately or maybe rented a car, many of the vehicles have what they're calling connected dashboards, maybe smart dashboards, where there's internet actually available in the dashboard. I mean, I personally, always when I get in a car, like a rental or something, I'm always looking for the radio and can't find it in the midst of all the other things, the controls that are up there. But the dashboard is getting to be so complicated beyond just the simple push-button radio with a few choices.
It's there's a great tension between sort of consumer demand and then, you know, what's, you know, really in the best safety interests. So automakers have a fine line to tread there, and certainly a great potential for, I mean, we're basically driving computers, right, in these days. And so I think, you know, the sooner we can get fully autonomous self-driving cars, the better from a safety standpoint.
And really, you have to be responsible for yourself. I mean, we've got great strides with seatbelt laws that certainly come, you know, a long way in the last several years, and better seatbelts. But ultimately, you know, you do have to be responsible for yourself, and remember to buckle up and pay attention while you're driving.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, a relatively not complicated topic, although there are so many angles and so many issues there. But we're talking about distracted driving on this week's show, and we're interested in our listener reactions. Please send us an email right now. Again, if you're not driving, if you're in a position where you can safely send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST or call 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. I'm interested in stories about distracted driving. What have you experienced on the roadways? What has been at least annoying to you, if not unsafe or potentially deadly? What about your own experience? How are you avoiding being distracted while driving? 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, at WEKUEST. Now, Kara Masick of the Governor's Highway Safety Council, I know I understand you were unable to stay with us for the entire point of the program, so let me know if you have to drop out. But we talk about this issue of self-driving cars. What do we call? Are we calling it autonomous driving? But is that really going to be an answer to a lot of these issues? Is that where we're headed? How are you all feeling and folks concerned with highway safety feeling about a future in which we might all be reading the paper, enjoying a meal, watching a movie instead of paying attention to the driving?
I think that ultimately, you know, a landscape of fully autonomous vehicles is going to have tremendous benefit for safety. The challenge is getting from point A to point B, and how do we get there safely? There's a whole spectrum of you know, issues that we need to examine. You know, one of which is that these types of cars are going to be sharing the road with, you know, traditional drivers for the foreseeable future. So, you know, how do these types of vehicles, you know, interact with you know, traditional drivers? Particularly when they're actually going to be programmed to probably, you know, obey the law, the letter of the law. So these cars may become the nerds of the highways, be bullied by regular drivers that are in a hurry or distracted. And then there's also the levels of automation. I mean, we have partially automated vehicles on the road, autonomous vehicles on the road today. So that is a whole other, you know, issue. to consider and how drivers need to disengage and reengage in the task at hand. You know, what can the car do, and where do they have to take control? And I mean, we've seen that in the you know, Tesla crash and other you know, high visibility incidents that, you know, we're trying to figure out how. So those are, I think, two of the main concerns, is the gradual iteration towards these vehicles, and then fully autonomous sharing the road with traditional as well.
I've never even considered that issue, that the self-driving cars are likely to be very literal in interpreting the law. So if the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, are they going to be set so that they're not going to go past 70? Boy, they're going to be a real distraction to a lot of drivers.
Right, right. So there's, I mean, there's issues to consider. Do we program them to disobey the law? I mean, I don't know. I'm not suggesting any solutions. I'm just sort of throwing out things that, you know, we need to take into consideration moving
forward.
Right.
There are many different issues there that will come along as I think we have more and more technology. And right now, speed limits are set basically on what an average driver is driving. So, you know, to lower or to raise a speed limit often is not the solution.
Are there states that are considering legislation related to the self-driving cars? Have any taken any action whatsoever? For instance, California, where there's a lot of innovation that spreads to the rest of the country eventually.
There are currently 15 states, along with D.C., that have laws, enacted laws regarding autonomous vehicles, and four others have executive orders in place. It's constantly evolving and changing. I mean, each week there's different, you know, state-level activity on autonomous vehicles. In some cases, you know, they explicitly prohibit or explicitly, you know, permit under specific conditions, testing, you know, authorization. That's typically what we're looking at is autonomous vehicle testing and operations allowed under specified conditions. So it varies from state to state. We actually have on our website a state law section that specifies the different types of autonomous vehicle laws. And like I said, it's constantly evolving and changing.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Again, it's an interactive show, and we'd love to hear from our listeners on this topic of distracted driving. This is one of those topics where I think we could probably just all agree, all right, distracted driving is a bad thing. Is there anyone out there willing to confess to actually being a distracted driver? I mean, I'll confess to every once in a while finding myself getting a toot from behind when I'm at a traffic light, when I've looked down at the phone because something dinged in, a text message or something. Next thing I know, beep, and green light, got to go now. Anybody else had that experience? Is this becoming a problem in our society? And better yet, what are ways we can move away from distracted driving? Are there ways that we can satisfy, you know, you talked about the fact that there's some kind of a need in us to communicate with others when we get those messages, when things are going on, and we're just constantly connected. Again, for our listeners, we're interested in your questions about this topic or your experiences at WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com or 800-621-8890. And again, I'm surprised that we're not getting any phone calls, but maybe because there was an issue with the phone system, we're having a problem. So feel free to send us a tweet at WEKU EST. Natasha Lacey, Kara Masek, are there movements? How are we educating drivers? How are we going to help drivers fight against the distractions?
Well, on a national and state level, we have, of course, the campaigns that I had mentioned. In fact, during March 30th, 2017, that was in honor of National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. And then, of course, we have Work Zone Safety Month, too. So we have campaigns that are very intense with getting out PSAs and other information to the public for safety purposes.
And I will say, you know, historically with highway safety, the formula that has worked for seatbelts and for alcohol-impaired driving is the high-visibility enforcement model, where you have strong laws, you have strong enforcement, and, you know, national and, you know, state and local level campaigns where you, you know, highly publicize that these enforcement waves are happening. Let the public know that they need to, you know, follow the law or they will get a ticket or worse. The challenge, as I said, with the distracted driving is that, you know, typically most of the laws are pretty challenging to enforce, not impossible, but it is a little bit more challenging than some of the other statutes. And then also just the behavior, we haven't changed the culture, the mindset that, you know, this is, like I said, something that's almost addictive in nature. And so it's a very much of a, you know, this is bad, I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I do it anyway. So it's almost like, you know, speeding in a way that it's, you know, still sort of publicly acceptable. I think we've made great strides in belts and alcohol in the sense that the vast majority of people recognize the importance of buckling up and do buckle up. That's not to say it's completely solved. And then similarly, we have also come a long way in alcohol impaired driving in the sense that, you know, many people are designating drivers now and understand, you know, the seriousness of this issue. Back in the 80s, it was, you know, one for the road, and we just had a higher incidence of alcohol-impaired driving. So we need to look at those formulas, see what we can learn from them, and apply the same methodology toward distracted driving. But the challenge is, you know, it's, you know, ingrained in our psyches at this point, this communication constantly. So it's going to be a heavy lift.
What are the comparisons between impaired driving from alcohol or other drugs or substances versus distracted driving versus people who are you know, distracted by the technology? Are there figures that can tell us how dangerous each of those, which one is more dangerous at this point?
Well, there are different statistics with crashes and fatalities, lack of seatbelt use, speeding, alcohol, day of the week, time of day, time of year. Those statistics have, you know, been gathered, and for alcohol, and for work zones was cited as a factor in 132 incidents, which is 25%, and that is from 2014.
These are Kentucky figures.
Yes.
Yeah, from a national level, we know that alcohol still contributes to, alcohol impairment contributes to approximately 30% of fatalities on the roadways at a national level. So, you know, as you can see, that, you know, comparing to about 10% for distraction in the most recent data.
So however, three times as many issues.
Yeah. However, as I mentioned, I think we suspect that the distracted driving.
Kara, I know you have to go, and I have to take a station break. I'm sorry. Thank you. And we will be right back with Eastern Standard. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, talking about distracted driving. We thought this would be a good summertime topic for a few days after the 4th of July holiday. We're interested in your questions, your comments, your personal stories about experiences with distracted driving. Kara Masick, are you still with us? I think we did lose her because she needed to take a break, or she was I had another commitment of some kind. So we are grateful for Kara Masick, Senior Director of Communications Programs from the Governor's Highway Safety Council, for being with us. But we still have with us on the line, hopefully, Natasha Lacey, Public Information Officer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Natasha, you're still there?
I am here.
Excellent. Let's come back, and let me encourage our listeners to really get on board here. Now, we were having, I understand, that issue where the phones crashed 20 minutes ago or something, apparently reset the phone system, so the calls were going to the wrong place instead of to our program. So please feel free to call in now with your questions, your comments, or stories, 800-621-8890. 800-621-8890. We're talking about distracted driving. I know it seems like a simple matter. Just don't get on the phone. Don't eat. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't mess with the pets or the children while you're driving. But It is apparently a serious issue and causing some serious problems on our roadways. And as I understand it, it's going to be an increasing problem. So please let us know what is on your mind as we talk about this topic at 800-621-8890. So, Natasha, let's come back to the current situation in Kentucky. The figures, did you say that 30% of accidents are being caused by alcohol or substance impairment and 10% by distracted driving at this point in the state?
That was the national statistics. It was actually 25% for Kentucky, but 30% for the nation.
So 25% for substance abuse or alcohol abuse.
For alcohol abuse. And something I want to mention, since we're, of course, in summertime, the work zones. You have construction that's active in most states during warm weather, and distracted driving in a work zone can result in terrible, terrible results.
And there are laws with very specific and of extreme penalties for those who may cause especially death of a worker on the roadway?
Yes, and also you might cause the death of just another citizen, too, in a vehicle. It can range from a person who is working for the highway department to just another citizen that's in a car, too, as well.
We're talking about distracted driving on this week's Eastern Standard. We have a number of lines ringing, and I'm waiting for the name of one of our callers so we can put somebody on the air here. Okay, let's talk to Bob. is on the road right now. And Bob, are you there? Hello, Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh. Actually, I'm on the side of the road.
All right.
That's good. We're glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being part of our show.
What I wanted to comment was actually had to do with the question, is there any movement or consideration toward having one driver's license for the entire United States? I drive a lot, probably 60, 80,000 miles a year, and I'm also a pilot, and I'd like to make some comparisons between flying and driving. I know that cars are not as autonomous as an airplane, but to get there in an airplane, as an example, you have to communicate. And it's part of the training that I did as a junior pilot. And for a number of years, I have about 10,000 hours flying time without any accidents, knock on wood, plenty of opportunity to test your skills, but you're not also in traffic, you know, bumper to bumper when you're in an airplane. But without communication in an airplane, you would be dead in the water, pardon the pun. But anyway, the question really is there any programs that are being considered for one driver's license for the entire United States?
To my knowledge, it's still a state issue. Each state, you know, determines the driver's license and the format that they use, to my knowledge, at this time.
So your point, Bob, right, would be that really, I mean, with the extent of driving these days, so much of our driving is, of course, interstate. We're traveling from one state to another, which is, I'm sure, the reason why pilot's licenses are regulated at a different level. So a pilot's license is issued by the federal government, I assume.
That is correct.
And FAA. And you're really traveling the same paths in many ways, sometimes following highways, I understand.
I'll give you an example. There's several ways to travel in an airplane, but you know, at the level that I fly what's called IFR, instrument flight rules, and you're assigned to a designated skyway, and it's very similar to a freeway. So you're on that at a certain altitude that is given to you by the controller on the ground that sees the larger picture than you do. We have aboard, of course, weather radar and different instruments that allow us to understand if there are other traffic near us, but that doesn't tell you precisely where there are. So we have to constantly communicate with, you know, the ground control in order to complete our flight safely. And driving is certainly different than that. You're on a highway with hundreds of other people and bumper to bumper, and some cut you in, some cut out. But I think my point, the larger point, has to do with the standard of getting a driver's license seems to be more lax in some states than it does other, or more rigid in others, and I don't know which. But from place to place, I certainly notice a difference. And I'm a native of Kentucky, and I love this state. We've done much to improve our highways, and we've done much to the safety standards. And I'm not a perfect driver. But one of the things that I was taught as a pilot that I've overlapped into my driving has to do with your scan of what's around you, your environment. You're constantly looking, not fixed on one thing in front of you or beside you or the radio or the phone. And the cell phone is a big distraction. I agree with that. In fact, I would like to see them have a switch internal that says when the engine is running or the cell phone is moving, that your text cannot work. Cell phone's fine. You know, if you need to make a call, that's one thing. But to text or to use other devices such as games, can you imagine a pilot playing tic-tac-toe as he's flying over? I wouldn't think so.
Bob, you raised some very important topics here. I don't know if Natasha really have much of a response for Bob on some of these issues. And apparently no movement. Are we seeing anything at all in terms of movements to maybe nationalize driver's license standards as well as some other standards for highway safety?
To my knowledge, the driver's license, as I mentioned, is really still a state issue. I think, those are some really good issues because, as you mentioned, interstate travel, we go from state to state. So that could be something, you know, for the future that could be considered, certainly, you know, and brought up at meetings or at conferences, too, as well.
All right, Bob, thank you so much.
One more comment.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Yeah, I do have a couple other people waiting.
Sure. Just quickly, I would think that the more we come toward autonomous vehicles, the more we're going to need these standard rules. So thank you. And,
all right. Yep.
Great subject.
Great comments from you, Bob. Thank you so much for being part of our show. This is Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 is our phone number, our email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Let me turn to an email from Bruce from Lexington. And again, Natasha, not sure if you have an answer to some of these very specific questions. But Bruce writes, a friend at Motorola told me 10 years ago that it was perfectly feasible to plug a cell phone into the dashboard along with a standard keypad and connected to the car's sound system. This never happened. I suspect it's because a cell phone is a status symbol to be seen. I mean, Natasha, would you not agree with me that a lot of what we've been seeing with these connected cars, these new dashboards, certainly when you plug your phone into the USB jack in most cars, it actually, my phone takes over the sound system.
Yes, and once again, I'm going to mention the fact that ultimately when you're driving and you're a driver, you are responsible for yourself. And so you have to keep in mind that all the devices you might have in your vehicle, you have to try to discipline yourself so that you're not distracted by using so many different things. Even like GPS can be distracting for people when they're driving in traffic and then they plug in different directions. So a lot of this goes back to driver awareness and responsibility for yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you, Natasha. This is Eastern Standard. We have listeners calling in with comments and stories about distracted driving on this week's show, 800-621-8890. Mark from Lexington is on the line. Mark, thank you for calling and being part of the show.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me. I was just calling to ask, I grew up around New York in the Northeast, and I drove in both New York and in the Boston area. Both are infamous for aggressive driving, but I was never in an accident. And since moving down here 25 years ago, I've been hit 6 times. And this was before cell phones were so prevalent. So this question of distracted driving and bad driving precedes cell phones. But my major question is, what is the per capita rate of accidents here in Lexington and Kentucky, and how does it affect our insurance rates? If you have that, I'll take that answer off the line. Thank
All right,
you.
Big. I have a pocketbook issue there. Thank you for your call.
Well, Kentucky, there were more than 59,400 crashes in 2016, and that resulted in more than 15,300 injuries and 192 fatalities, and that was due to distracted driving. So nearly 80% of crashes and 65% of near crashes involved some form of distraction within 3 seconds before the event. Of course, that's statewide.
Are there figures, do you know, Natasha, you know, they talk about it only takes a slight glance away from the road to create a potential hazardous or deadly situation. You talk about within 3 seconds. Is that the standard?
I would say that that is certainly acceptable. And, of course, as I had mentioned, driving while using a cell phone reduces the amount of brain activity associated with driving by 37%. So any type of thing that you are doing reduces your mind as far as paying attention to what you're doing with driving.
Actually, I should acknowledge an email from Penny, who wrote to us about what about low-tech distractions. Penny writes, between my husband and myself, we have personally witnessed people shaving, putting on makeup, eating a bowl of cereal, and other crazy things. She says, I'm guilty of changing out CDs and rummaging around my purse for something, as well as eating and drinking. None are very smart, but our vehicles run so smoothly, we forget we're barreling down the road at pretty high speeds. Are there issues? I mean, I certainly eating and drinking can be a distraction, but gosh, are there any restrictions whatsoever, or even any consideration of some of these other distractions in terms of laws on the state level?
Well, not in terms of laws, but they are listed as driver distractions, such as reaching for an object, talking or listening to passengers, reading and or writing while you're driving. I have heard of people reading newspapers while they were driving, the eating, drinking, or smoking, any type of grooming, and, of course, using music controls or electronic devices. So these are all listed under driver distractions, although laws are not in place for each activity.
But officers may collect that information when they file an accident report?
That might be included in an accident report, just pending. I think a lot of times they can tell if you know, from an accident report, if you're texting, they may not know if you were the cause of the crash was due to eating or smoking.
All right. This is Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890, our phone number. We have a few minutes remaining as we continue discussing this issue of distracted driving, what we considered a pretty good summertime topic. And on the line right now, I'm not sure. I don't know the name of our caller on line three, but I hope you're there. Are you there, caller?
I am here.
Great. Do you mind giving us your first name?
Yes, Stephen.
Stephen, great. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
So I find this is a very interesting topic and one that relates to my life very in a serious way. I grew up with cell phones, and I am very guilty of being a distracted driver sometimes. There have been times when I realize I wasn't, you know, looking at the road for an extended period of time, and I've been driving either on the interstate or, you know, around town. And so technology is a big distraction, but I also wonder if technology can't be a solution for these problems. If I use the Snapchat app, you know, it can tell me like how fast I'm going. So the phones have that capability, and I've actually looked at like the App Store to see if is there an app anywhere out there that will, you know, recognize once the car is a vehicle is moving over 10 miles an hour where it could just shut the phone off. I've looked and there's nothing like that. And just wondering if, you know, maybe the Department of Transportation could invest in that. Is anyone looking at that? You know, could that be our solution to this problem?
It's possible. We do have a governor's safety conference coming up, and a lot of those topics will be addressed. And I do think that's something, of course, we have to keep in mind as we move along with the changes in vehicles and the system that we're going to be driving in. Perhaps there can be other safety features that are introduced, too, as well through that.
All right. Stephen, anything further from you?
I don't think so. I hope that they are able to come up with something because it's, you know, it's addicting. The phones are addicting, and that's a serious problem. And too many people lose their lives every year from distracted driving.
You raise a good point. A lot of the problems caused by technology, so we might as well turn to technology to come up with some solutions. Thank you, Stephen, for being
part.
for being part of our show on this week's Eastern Standard. We may have time for one more caller. We'll see if we can get somebody else processed and able to go on the air here. But let me ask you, Natasha Lacey, if you have some overall tips, some overall advice from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet regarding this issue of distracted driving.
Well, we ask people to be patient. And remember, there is a slogan about texting, it can wait. Whatever you're getting as far as a phone call or a text, that's something that can wait until you safely pull off to the side of the road to check. You don't need to endanger your life or the lives of others by checking it while you're in motion and driving. And I do want to mention out our website, if you are interested in more information, we have go.ky.ky.gov. And you can also use the free Waze app for traffic and travel information. And planning ahead is very important as a driver. Mapping out your route and leaving enough time to get to your destination or to get home from work, those are things, too, that are important to keep in mind as well so that you're not panic-stricken and rushing.
Have there been efforts? Bob had raised the issue about standards for driver's license tests. What's happening on the driver's education level in terms of new drivers regarding distracted driving? Are there some specific things that are now addressing that issue with people who are just learning to drive?
Well, we do have different things in place. We have what are called distracted driving simulators, and we use those, and they're very helpful as far as a young driver or new driver, or actually we do it for our training too as well for snow and ice trucks. And those will help a lot for people to have a simulated driving. And we take those out to the high schools, sometimes to the middle schools, and then the students are able to use that.
Very good. Natasha Lacey, thank you so much. Natasha is Public Information Officer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. We also had with us today Kara Masick, a Senior Director of Communications Programs from the Governor's Highway Safety Council. This is Eastern Standard. The program will be repeated on Sunday evening and available as a podcast. We want to thank our associate producer, Devonna Gaines, as well as Julia Dake and Zach Redding. And we thank you for tuning in to Eastern Standard on WEKU.